This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And it is time to bring in from the broadcast booth at Capital One Arena, the one, the only, Dave Johnson.
Kispert open for three, it's there.
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now, the right block of Alsar, slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Give it a bridge now. Blocked by Koulibaly. Left wing George, 3 o'clock for three, it's there.
Feel like busting loose, busting loose.
Crossover, step back, three, oh! Jordan Poole,
you are cool.
I feel like busting loose now.
On the Hoffman Show.
Dave with us for the first night of a back-to-back. Dave, how are we doing?
Doing well. We've got the Kings in town. We're going to see Jonas Valanciunas, who, of course, used to be a part of the Wizards. And we
Hello, Jonas.
A great time with him this season. And, you know, the other night, the Jordan Poole, that was significant. The single-season mark for three-pointers made, and now he's about to surpass Davis Bertans. On ninth in franchise history for three-pointers, but significant when you think about Jordan Poole's journey at the start of last season. He comes over having won a championship, you know, playing with Steph and Clay and with the Golden State Warriors, and he was really playing out of position for the first half of last season. And, you know, quite frankly, fans are saying, wait a minute, this is not what we expected from Jordan Poole. They got him in a more comfortable spot the second half of the season, post All-Star break, and he really started to show, yeah, that's the Jordan Poole that we wanted from Golden State, that he wanted, and it just continued into this season. And to get that kind of mark, it's a lot of hard work, because you also have to consider, with the Wizards, Jordan Poole is definitely at the top of every opponent's scouting report, and he still accomplished that.
No doubt about it, and he was awesome the other night. Unfortunately, offensively, didn't get a whole lot of help. Sometimes that is how that goes. And Dave, I do, you know, we can talk about the game more in a second, but especially since we have a back-to-back and we can talk some more Wizard stuff generally over the next 2 days, I did want to ask you, by chance, did you read David Aldridge's column in The Athletic earlier in the week on kind of the current state of the NBA?
You know, I did not, and I'm embarrassed to say that, but because I'm an Athletic subscriber and I love David Aldridge, but
of course,
I somehow missed that one.
Okay, so one, I will send you the link because I think you'll enjoy it, but I will tell you the basic premise, and I'm curious, as someone who has been calling NBA games for 30 years, like your take on it, if you will. But basically the premise is that basketball players now are more talented than they've ever been. The growth and evolution of the game is what it is. Guys like Durant, guys like Wembanyama, these seven-footers that are so skilled, and players of all sizes have more just basketball skill than ever. They've obviously, there's been a ton of growth and strategy and things based off analytics and anything else that you want to throw in there. And yet, the game is having all these problems in terms of popularity, where it seems like maybe something has been lost along the way. That's the basic premise. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, and that idea that, like, what is that thing that is being lost? And I know you sit at the center of people who love the game, because people that are still choosing to go and consume it are obviously the ones that are consuming the work that you do. But I'm curious, you know, as someone who's had the seat you've had for 30 years, how you've seen the game evolve, and some things that you maybe really love about the modern game, and some things that at times you're like, ooh, the nostalgia of that still would be appealing if I saw that more often.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. And you know, basketball by its nature and the skill set it requires, whether it's, whether, yes, footwork. And that's why I always say that soccer is a great complement if you want to be a good basketball player. You know, we talked about why Steve Nash was such a great point guard. Well, that was his soccer footwork. So it's the complete athletic skill set. And I remember my uncle in the 70s talking about, you know, I love the NBA because I'm seeing the greatest athletes. You know, they need to have speed or the size, strength. You can go right down the list. So that's part of what I think attracts people to the game. There's also a mixture of physicality. No, it's not as physical as football and hockey, but there's a physical nature to basketball. Yet there's a stylish elegance to basketball as well. The evolution of the game in terms of the skill set, what players can do, I think is just, you know, when you consider basketball, especially on the professional level of all the sports in this country, it is relatively young. I mean, you know, hockey history goes back to the 20s. Baseball, my goodness sakes, you know, didn't they bring it over in the Mayflower or whatever? So it goes way back. Whereas, you know, basketball into the late 60s, you know, the NBA was still a 14-team league, and they were still trying to find cities that were going to support professional basketball. So then you're talking about a 60-year window. I know this is a long-winded answer, and I'm kind of, you know, skating around the question, but I'm also, you know, some of the pillars to what my answer is going to be on this. I think you enjoy the moment of every game in basketball. And what I mean is, you know, there's been times when it's been more physical. There was times when, you know, people say, well, boy, I wish there wasn't the three-pointer, and you went back to post play. I don't, you know, subscribe to that. I think there is still a mixture. Just when you think that something is extinct, it comes back again. I think, you know, the big challenge, and I think this is, it's not so much the game or the skills, because these athletes, I think, quite frankly, in all sports, are going to continue to get better, because, my goodness gracious, the stuff that's from sleep to diet to, oh, you could make a long list of how they're supported, and that was not the way in the 70s, 80s, and maybe even to the 90s. I mean, there was commercial flights, and, you know, the old football, you know, take a salt tablet, right? You know, at your training camp, as you sweat like crazy. So it's because the athletes are in better condition and are better cared for. I think they're able to deliver a better product on a consistent basis. The big challenge, I think, for the NBA is, and I don't know how you fix this. It is a sport where there is a shot clock, which you do need a shot clock. But because of that, you don't have the situation like with the hockey playoffs, where, okay, maybe, you know, this team was the, we know it certainly here in Washington, you can be the President's Cup winner and win the regular season and not do well in the playoffs. The NFL is part of the marketability of the NFL, and this goes back to Pete Rozelle and his vision and how they've made a competitive balance, and they made that competitive balance because they share the television rights. This goes back to the Tisch family and the Giants. You know, they could have argued, well, we're New York, we should get more of the television money. Instead, you know, Buffalo and Green Bay has just as much a chance as New York is in Chicago. So because of that competitive balance, it is any given Sunday. It's, you don't know from one year to the next. You know, I understand the Chiefs and Eagles are having their period of time, but you know what I'm saying. Really, in the NFL, somebody can, you know, who knows? The Commanders could have surprised somebody and gotten to the Super Bowl this year. So I think that's the issue that, you know, is a problem with the NBA, where to you know, I don't know if the problem's a word, but it's a reality. If you're going to get better, you need to bottom out and start like the Wizards are from scratch, if you will, which is, you know, not unlike, you know, what maybe the Orioles did, you know, they went with young talent and now they're seeing the benefits of that. So, you know, it's a little bit different because of the nature and the importance of the draft, but You do have a situation, you know, I feel in the NBA, I think the NBA wishes that that at the start of the season, more teams really felt like they had a chance at the title.
I think it's 100% true, and I think some of that is the general nature of basketball. Five players on the floor, a guy like a LeBron James or a Stephen Curry can have such an outsized impact. But I think there's also stuff, the article, Dave, will be in your inbox as soon as we get done here, so that you can read it at your leisure. But I think some of the things that Dave points out in the column it's worth reading for anybody who's a basketball fan is the stuff that is controlled by the league. Everything from the relative practice to play ratios to any rule changes they can make, and it's just a really fascinating thought experiment. But tonight, Dave, you get the current NBA. You get the Wizards and you get the Kings. We never know what's going to happen. Could be fun. Jordan Poole pursuing all those records you mentioned earlier, moving up the all-time three-point list in Wizards franchise history. Young guys get more minutes. It'll be a lot of fun. And then I'll have to swing by and say hi tomorrow. We'll be in the building tomorrow, so we'll talk more about the how tonight goes and preview tomorrow's game tomorrow, Dave.
All right, and make sure you wear your Harry Potter costume, because tomorrow night there is a Harry Potter night here.
Yes, we'll get everything sorted. That was a pun.
And you say that, it goes over my head, because I never saw Harry Potter and I never saw Star Wars. So that's just how culturally inept I am.
I'm not all the way with you, but I'm also not all the way not with you. And I think that's where we're going to leave that, Dave.
All right.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, bud. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks.
Dave Johnson with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, what a night it was, by the way. You know, you can complain about the NBA all you want. Not last night. What Joker did, what Steph Curry did, what Giannis did, and where are we sitting with about a week to go in the NBA's regular season? We'll buzz you through where the standings are and some of the things you should know next here on the Team 980. But first, the latest in the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want at Wawa, with customizable roasted or crispy chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. 25 minutes away from Wizards pregame here on the Team 980. Wizards and Caps both in action tonight. Zardo's here on the Team 980. Wayne Gretzky just four goals away from Alex Ovechkin just four games away, goals away from Anthony. I'm going to try that a third time. Remember earlier in the show when I beautifully read David Aldridge's prose?
You did indeed.
Yeah. Now I can't even speak my own words.
Ah.
Alex Ovechkin is four goals from Wayne Gretzky. That's it. That's all I have to say. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. NBA last night, Anthony, was bananas. Just some of the greatest individual performances you will ever see. Steph Curry lost his mind. Nikola Jokic lost his mind. Steph's team won. Jokic's lost. But before we get to all of that, the Eastern Conference, the 10 teams that will be competing in the postseason are set, Anthony. With the Raptors' loss last night, the Bulls have now clinched themselves a play-in spot. They have clinched it along with Miami, Atlanta, and Orlando. Currently, those are the teams. Orlando and Atlanta, and I think Miami, the way I'm reading the standings, can all, if they like win out and Milwaukee loses out, any one of them could wind up surpassing the Bucks. The Bulls, I believe, the highest they can climb is seventh. But the Eastern Conference 10 teams that will be competing once the regular season ends are the Cavs, who have a 4-game lead on Boston for the 1 seed. The Celtics, who have then an 8-game lead on the Knicks for the 2 seed. The Knicks, the Pacers, and there's a huge gap, by the way, between, again, 2 and 3. There's also a 4-game gap between 3 and 4, Knicks and Pacers. And the Knicks have been able to maintain that, even with Jalen Brunson missing the better part of the last month. The Pistons are the 5 seed, as Cade Cunningham has exploded to become one of the best players in the league this season. The Bucks, who, by the way, had the best shooting game in like a quarter century last night. They couldn't miss. They're sitting in 6th place safely in the playoffs. And then you'd have Magic, Hawks, Heat, and Bulls in the play-in. You got all that?
Yep.
All right. By the way, the Wizards, three games clear of Charlotte for the worst record in the East. They are in a virtual tie. They've played one less game than Utah. But Utah plays tonight as well. But the Wizards and Jazz currently both sitting on 16 wins. for the worst lottery odds. The Pelicans, the only other team in the West that's been eliminated, they are far clear of getting in that mix. They've won 21 games, even though they've now shut down Zion Williamson and CJ McCollum for the rest of the season. In the Western Conference, though, the Spurs are basically tanking at this point because they don't have Wemby or De'Aaron Fox for the rest of the year. Portland has played really well since about New Year's Day. And by the way, still happening, Anthony. Anytime Denny Avdija has a good game, people find the reel of me saying that he's overrated by Wizards fans, something that is still true based off of the trade last year. But he had 35 and 15 last night. Denny's having a great year.
He's been eating. He has.
They still got two first-round picks for a guy that before this season had never averaged 15 points a game.
Yeah.
You tell me how that's going. And by the way, Bob Carrington's numbers are creeping closer to Denny's by the day. Maybe Denny crawled away a little bit yesterday, but Bob Carrington's numbers are pretty darn good for a kid who's 19. And a lot. Anyway, I need to have that argument with Blazers fans now because none of them are listening. But the Blazers, they're trying to sneak into the play-in. They're sitting at 33 and 43. The Suns, yes, the Suns, the team with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, are currently in 11th. 11th.
KD's hurt.
I know he is. So is Beal. Shocker. But they're in 11th. A team that had legitimate championship aspirations is sitting in 11th. They are a game and a half behind Sacramento, who is here tonight to take on the Wizards. Sacramento's at 10, Dallas at 9, the Clippers at 8, the Timberwolves are at 7 after they absolutely stole one from the Denver Nuggets last night. Double overtime, Nikola Jokic had 61 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. A 60-point triple-double. And this game comes down to, in double overtime, Russell Westbrook smoking a layup when he could have dribbled out the clock and then committing a foul on a three-point shooter as time expired. Free throw shooter hits 2 out of 3. The one-point lead becomes a one-point deficit. That's your ball game.
And to make matters worse, the Nuggets had a 10-point lead in the fourth and squandered it and lost in double OT. Crazy. I'm not going to lie, Craig. That was one of the craziest games you'll see.
I woke up this morning and obviously saw it because I wasn't staying. That was the late game last night. But
yeah,
I was just like, wait, I'm sorry. What happened?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Meanwhile, the 4-5 matchup currently, if the playoffs started today, would be, Anthony, Lakers-Warriors. The Warriors, who have been unbelievable since they traded for Jimmy Butler at the deadline. And, of course, the Lakers, who are still getting it on track with Luka Doncic, but have been pretty darn good since that trade, even though they kind of view themselves as one piece away. Man, the Warriors are, with Butler, I think they're 12-2. With the starting lineup that they've been using recently, they're undefeated. Like, that Warriors team, and especially with, Steph last night, 52 points. He had 11 threes through three quarters as they beat the Grizzlies, pulled away late. He's 37, man. Like, I know we say this stuff about LeBron all the time, and LeBron deserves it. I'm not trying to take anything away from LeBron. The point is, this is not supposed to happen ever, and we got two guys doing it. LeBron's 40, Steph is 37, and he played 37 minutes last night, scored 52 points, and by the way, had 8 rebounds and 10 assists to boot.
I think it's scarier for Steph just because the last thing that will go in an NBA player's game is his shot. And the fact that he is the greatest shooter ever should put fear in everybody because he's still a threat when he crosses half court.
Remember, this was the point in his career. The Warriors tried the two timeline thing, right?
Yep.
With Kuminga, and it was supposed to be James Wiseman and all those guys. And Steph was just supposed to be a role player that was able to just, space the floor and shoot. And instead, he's still the centerpiece of that offense and is playing out of his bleeping mind. Butler was also great last night. Draymond had a triple-double. They're nasty, man. And your Lakers are still, they're more inconsistent, but, like, they're not a bad team either. The West playoffs are going to be great this year.
Dude, so the Lakers own the tiebreaker over the Nuggets. What I'm praying for, Craig, is the Thunder to be the 1 seed, the Rockets to be the 2 seed, the Lakers to be the 3, and the Nuggets to be the 4. I need the Nuggets to have the toughest road to the Western Conference Finals because you'll have to play the Warriors in the first round, then the Thunder in the second round, and then the Lakers or the Rockets in the the third round. That would be insane.
Oh, and by the way, Oklahoma City is having one of the greatest regular seasons any NBA team has ever had.
Yeah.
They've won 10 in a row. They're 63-12. Their point differential, Anthony, is 13.3.
Yeah.
They are winning. The average game ends with them winning by 13 points. That's not their average winning percentage. That includes the 12 games they've lost. Their point differential is an average of 13.3 per night. Typically, if you have a double-digit average, you are the NBA champion.
And they've only lost to one Eastern Conference team, just one. They've beaten everybody else. They lost to the Cavs, and that's the best, you know, record against a single conference.
Who, by the
since
way,
1907 since they made the conferences.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, the Cavs also plus 10.0 on the dot at kind of that double digit point differential threshold last night. It took Chicago having a 43-point fourth quarter against OKC's backups to make this game a, if you want to call 145-117 respectable.
God,
they put
dang
belt to ass for the first three quarters.
Oh my goodness.
I remember seeing that score being like, I'm sorry, it's what now?
Yeah.
Shea played 27 minutes, had 27 points, 12 assists, 2 blocks. He had no rebounds though, slacker.
The Bulls put up 43 in the fourth and they still lost by 28.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Because they only had 40 at halftime.
Ah. Well, that explains it.
18 plus 22 is 40, right?
Yeah.
That means the Thunder scored 45 in the second quarter.
Dude, this year's playoffs.
And they gave
crazy
up 40 in the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, NBA playoffs, they're around the corner. Wizards will not be taking part. The Wizards will be playing the Kings, who are trying to take part, in about half an hour. Pre-games in 15 minutes, which means we got to take our final break and come back with real things real people said in real microphones. Wrapping up here on the Hoffman Show, here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Appreciate everyone checking us out there. Had some fun with some NBA today, some NFL today. We've been a bit all over the place. But tomorrow, what do we have, Anthony? Looking at the rundown. Looks pretty blank.
We have never read the comments.
We got that at 5:30. What else we got tomorrow?
It's a great question, Craig.
If anybody in the sports world wants to do anything, tomorrow seems to be your day. Friday also seems like it could be your day. Who knows? Maybe Ovi scores a hat trick tonight and he's on the verge of breaking the record by Friday.
That would be insane.
We can definitely do some of that on Friday.
Yeah.
Frankly, if he scores tonight and he's within range, we'll probably talk about that on Friday. Well, I guess we're getting close to Final Four.
Final Four is getting close.
So we can try to do some preview.
Because the games are on Friday. They start Friday. The women's anyway.
Oh, yeah. The women's games are on Friday. It's so weird. It's so dumb how they do that. Right?
Because the women just played on Monday and now they're going to play on Friday.
Right. It used to not be like that. It used to, like the women's championship game used to be on Tuesday.
Mm.
And then they wanted to make the women's championship on Sunday, which is way better for TV. Perfectly fine with that decision.
Yeah.
But then just make their tournament start sooner the whole time. Make it a Wednesday, Friday, it'll be a Wednesday, Friday, Thursday, Saturday tournament. And the men can have Sunday to themselves versus what it is now, where the women start on Friday. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday for the first two weekends. And then we switch it in the last weekend.
Yeah. That's weird.
It's super weird.
I guess at like this Monday point, everybody gets Friday, their own day.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Monday to Friday is not that crazy of a turnaround within the context of a college basketball season. I think the difference is, though, it's like the travel. Like, you got teams that are going Spokane to Tampa.
Yeah.
And might want to be able to go home first. Because they got all the media. That's just not a lot of time. Especially for the most important games of your season. Weird. Add it to the list of ways that the NCAA has clearly foobarred the women's tournament over the years. At least they have a real weight room now. Remember that whole fiasco a couple years ago?
Yeah, that was bad stuff.
Yeah, or and then they were like, oh, you guys can also use the March Madness moniker. Idiots. 2 years later, the women's game outgrows the final, or out-audiences the men's final. And it's like, hey, maybe we should not treat this like a second-class product, and we can have two first-class products. Is that what you have? It's not about putting down the men's game. It's realizing you got two first-class products and not messing it up. So there's that. But yeah, we got the women's games on Friday. But tomorrow, a lot of blank space in the rundown.
Take a man?
Yeah, we're going to have a guy, a draft analyst named Jeremy Green on. Logan loves the guy. Said he's really funny on top of being really smart.
Yeah.
He's a southern guy from South Carolina somewhere, so he and I are going to have to do a little South Carolina talk before we get started.
Yeah. Oh, mock draft?
Oh, we do typically do mock drafts on Thursday.
Mock drafts.
And are you writing this stuff down? We should put this in. We got the document open right here. Take command. We got mock drafts. I was looking at who put their Lance Zierlein put out his latest one today.
Phil Yates did too.
Phil put out one. So we got some mock drafts to look at. You wanna know what? This rundown's coming together. What a show we're gonna have for you tomorrow. as for right now, we got a bunch of things in the folder. So let's get right to it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Real things.
We're not gonna be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Helps if I do the alrighty then when the microphone's back on. That's a professional job out of me. Our good friend Damon Amendolara, he's good for some journalism, Anthony. And by journalism, I mean air quotes. Journalism. Damon, perhaps most famous on this show for our dumpling discourse.
Yes, sir.
So this is appropriate. Food related, he had a conversation, this conversation with UNLV head basketball coach Josh Pastner.
I have heard that, like me, you're a passionate fan of white rice. I love white rice. Are you with me on this, March?
I love rice in general, mm-hmm. Whether it's white rice, chicken fried rice. I swear to you not, this is a funny story. 2 weeks ago, I'm at ESPN during championship week. One of the things was a plate of rice, was a pantry, a pan of rice. I must have got 6 servings filling my plate up. It was just white rice. Nothing else on it, just some white rice. So I got about, so I ate 2 plates and I wanted to go back for a third. I did. And then I figured people are looking at me. So I took and went around the corner.
That is incredible. But you're telling me that you don't only use it as a side to dip stuff in or put the stuff on. That could be the meal. Like you went up for just 3 bowls of plain white rice and that was your meal.
That was my meal. Listen, I mean, I am a rice guy.
Anthony, do you like rice that much?
No. 6 bowls? 6 servings? Of white rice? Nah,
it's most white people thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my gosh. Like, where's the sauce? Or like, you know, this, you gotta compliment it with something. I don't know. I can't just eat white rice.
Like, I can eat white rice as a side dish, right? As if, like, if you have some, like, I'll use a Chinese food, right? You have something with a good sauce on it, and then you kind of use it as an in-between to get to your next dish.
Yeah.
Or you can obviously put sauce or chicken with stuff or whatever on the rice. Yeah. So it can be used as a base layer. It can be used as a transition layer, kind of a palate cleanser. And rice, if you do it right with some oil, a little salt, whatever, you can have enough flavor on it. You don't got to do too much to it. But just to be like, I'm just going to eat plain white rice.
It's weird.
It's aggressive. It's aggressive. Unrelated. This weekend, Ashley Hatch, Washington Spirit, scored 2 goals in less than 3 minutes, moving her into 5th all-time on the, not the Spirit, the NWSL, the league's all-time scoring list. Her celebration made the rounds, and apparently it was designed by her teammate, Esme Morgan, a defender who did not give her much say in the matter.
So today, I was like, oh my gosh, Trin, I've got an idea for a celebration. Whoever scores should do a catwalk. And she was like, wait, that could be good. So then we're spreading the word around the dressing room. And we very specifically told Hatchie, actually, so I think we manifested that she was going to score because, yeah, we were, like, convincing her. And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I just, like, grabbed her hand and shook it so she was in. She didn't really have much choice in the matter. But I'm glad she was up for it when the time came along.
Three things. One, Esme Morgan, phenomenal storyteller. I've had her on our show, and I've heard her on other shows and there. Esme Morgan, excellent, excellent storyteller. Two, Ashley Hatch is someone I consider a personal friend and also someone we talked to on the show last week. By the way, Anthony, the streak might be back.
Uh-oh.
Remember last year we had like five or six players in a row that came on and then scored?
Yep.
Hatchie's on. Hatchie scored.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying, Sam, at Spirit PR, if you're listening, I need someone on the show who wants to score a goal. We got to put this theory to the test. But Ashley is, she just pumps her fists and keeps moving. Doing a dance type of thing. Not her pretending like, oh, look at me. I'm the center. Not the way she rolls. But thing number three, Anthony, she crushed it. She got in on the celebration and it was extra perfect because like she did it after the goal where she pulled into fifth place all time. So it like,
yeah, that's dope.
Even though it would apparently have been anybody who scored was going to do that, the fact that she got that moment where her teammates were like, look at Ashley, A plus. Excellent work all around.
That's
we need more coordinated celebrations in other sports.
I mean,
like what could Ovi do after he scores?
I don't know. He's
they just
so
all go to the glass and dap people on the head.
When he breaks the record, what is he going to do?
I think he should.
His bump.
Here's what he should do. Remember when he jumped in the fountains?
Yeah.
He should pretend like he's jumping in the fountains. Although that might kind of hurt to land
on
some ice.
I think that's going to hurt.
And plus, he's not hammered this time. That's our show. We'll see you tomorrow.